If you're still talking about hard labour, you're probably over 50 and you remember when we actually had to work hard. It's all relative, isn't it? I asked Aaron, he was walking past, what's your hardest day of labour? And he says, going to school. So, what else did we have? Who enjoys hard work? Oh, wow. It's a funny thing, isn't it? It's one of those things. Chris was talking about it. He was a labourer at one stage and he got paid to do hard work, but then he talked about he ran a marathon. That was the hardest thing he did, and he actually had to pay to run their marathon. Isn't it funny? So sometimes we get paid, sometimes we pay to torture ourselves. What about the mission fields? Where did you tap into where you feel it's ripe for a harvest in your lives? It's a bit of a challenging thought, but I encourage you in that. Here at Concordia, one of my hearts for you is that we do get real about tapping into the harvest field around us. And I think that will come naturally from where you are placed in your lives, where God has placed you, and how we as a community can support. So I was talking to Chris, and you know, as parents, we have this amazing mission field that, you know, our kids just get together with other families and we're around other people through our schools and our parties. You know, I always get asked, so what do you do? I'm like, here we go. I'm a pastor. And either the conversation stops or it opens up a door. And that's okay. The stopping's okay. Jesus had the stop too, didn't he? But when the door opens, what a beautiful mission field and what a beautiful harvest we can reap. So I continue to encourage you, think about where's God put you and how can you tap into that? That's probably my sermon in a nutshell, but we're going to pray and then you're going to hear 15 minutes of it. All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you send your Holy Spirit to open our hearts and minds as we hear your word today so that we can be your workers in this bountiful harvest that you've placed in front of us in our communities, in our circles of friendship, and together as a church. Strengthen us and continue to remind us we're not alone in this work because you're with us every step of the way. Amen. So I hope through this sermon series you've been encouraged thinking missionally, because often we think, right, I've got to get, I've got to do these courses. Courses are good. I've got to get my training up. I've got to become missionally minded. But hopefully through it, knowing that in word alone, Christ alone, faith alone, grace alone, we've already got all these tools. Jesus has given us everything. Today, I want to encourage you that we just got to get on with it, really. It's there before us. We've been given everything. We shouldn't let fear or our thinking that we're not good enough or that we don't know enough, these roadblocks that we put in the way of bringing Christ to others, we need to get rid of that. Today, I want to use that Luke 10 reading where Jesus talks about sending out the 72 and telling them that there's a harvest out there and that the workers are few. So today, I want to encourage you as workers for Christ. We all know that as Christ's disciples now, 2,000 years later, the mission of the church doesn't change. Jesus said in Matthew 28, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And that beautiful promise, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. This is it. That's all we've got to do. It's not complicated, is it? It's not a dossier of 1,000 pages of things we've got to tick off. It's one job. Go out, teach, baptize, bring them into the kingdom. But it is a big job. I know it is because I struggle in this. It is hard work, isn't it? And I don't know about you, but sometimes I don't like doing hard work. What's the job that you don't do around the house because it's your least favorite hard job to do? Cleaning the windows, maybe it's the shower that goes all moldy and you just kind of close your eyes as you're having the shower because it's too hard to deal with. Max, what's your hardest job? Your room. I remember those days. I've now got 10 rooms like that, don't worry. It gets harder, Max. Jesus sent out the 72, though. He gave them a job to do. As I said after the reading, how did it turn out? It turned out great. They came back celebrating, saying, Jesus, we did those things that you said and it worked. They trusted the one sending them. They went and shared the message that the kingdom of God was near. And they came back blessed people. The church has got this job to do and it continues on. It's our one thing that should be on our hearts. How are we bringing faith to the world around us? So I'm just going to pick out, apparently sermons are only supposed to have 3 points, but I'm going to have 5, sorry. If you drop off after the third, I'll forgive you. You've been... like I said, the statistics for Australia is pretty phenomenal. Before us, you know, we used to be a Christian nation. One in 250 people wasn't a Christian. It was phenomenal 100 years ago. Now, one out of three says they have no religion. It is a bit scary that society's changing, but that doesn't mean we should lose hope. It actually gives us more work to do, and that's a wonderful thing. We've got more opportunity to share Jesus with others. You think about it, though. If you're in a shopping centre and you're in the line with 5 other people, if you count down, half the people in the line, more than half the people are already going to be Christians. If you thought about turning around and saying, do you have any prayer needs? They'll be like, oh, you're a Christian too, because they most likely know about Jesus in their lives. So have heart. There are people that already know Jesus. We shouldn't be scared in talking about Jesus with others out in society, because most likely 2 out of 3 times you're going to come across another person. But that 1 in 3 who aren't saved, Jesus says they're not lost, they're not condemned, they don't have no hope. They're actually like a wheat field ready to be harvested. God's preparing them, growing them, planting into their lives so that they can come to Jesus. Doesn't mean they're going to be ripe for us to harvest. Maybe that'll come down the line. There's always stepping stones to coming to faith. Those here that have come to faith later in life, I'm sure you could name 4 or 5 people that planted into your life along the way, that, and then it was further down the line that you came to faith in Jesus. But Jesus does tell us, if we go and do the work, we will reap a harvest. I think we've got to know that Jesus wants us to do this, and that he is true to his word. We trust him in so many other areas of our lives, that he's forgiven us sins. Let's trust him that there is a harvest out there for us. So there's a harvest. Think about your neighbours, your family, those connection points in your lives as your harvest field. And get excited about that, that Jesus has given you these areas to go and work in. The second point, often I think we think, just how am I going to do this? Right? Jesus sends these 72 out in pairs. And I don't think that should be a strict rule in evangelism, not like the Jehovah's Witnesses that come and knock on your door in pairs, but see it more as a team thing. This is a team game. We're in this together as a church, as a community, but we need to be doing it together, don't we? It's no good trying to do it in our own strength. I think Jesus has given us a community together so that we can be doing this together. And how we do this, though, takes a bit of effort, doesn't it? Yesterday we got together and we thought about how we're going to do this at Concordia. Grow Ministries is planting into us as a congregation to equip us to think about how are we bringing faith to others. We're thinking internally, how can we continue to grow faith in our family here? But I also long for this missional aspect of our church to be going out together. So over the coming months, hopefully we can think in this space, what are we doing as Concordia? Where are we going to set our mission field? As I brought up yesterday, we have a Christian school just in our backyard here, St. Stephen's College, and I know from some reports they're struggling bringing Christ alive for their school community. Maybe that's our mission field. Maybe we can partner up with St. Stephen's. I don't know. But as we have these conversations, I'm sure God will reveal where we're supposed to be going. So we're in this together. Don't do it alone. Talk about it. Talk about where your heart is for bringing Christ into the lives of others and support one another in that. Encourage one another. How good is it when you're in a pair? Plum and I went door knocking before Easter, didn't we? And we just went around to our neighbours and just told them the services and we asked for prayer points, didn't we, Plum? I couldn't have done that by myself. I don't mind door knocking. I did it for 10 years as a newspaper photographer. But, you know, it was so beautiful to go out with Plum. And I felt it was great encouragement. So think about that. Think about getting someone beside you. What's my third point? Third point. All right. Did you notice the line in there? Verse 3 says, I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. Oh, why didn't he say lambs in a nice green pasture? I think Jesus knows this is an easy task, right? And he knows that the devil's like a prowling lion, you know, ready to devour. We're lambs. Is Jesus crazy? Jesus, don't you want to send out roaring lions into the lamb fields? Doesn't he want it the other way around? And I think this is where we should be encouraged. In the last few weeks, we've been talking about these great strengths that we stand on. It's nothing to do about us, is it? We are like lambs in God's kingdom. We do nothing to shore up our relationship with God. Jesus has done it all for us. As we stand on the firm foundation of word, grace, faith, and Christ alone, it's amazing how we can be lambs in that. Jesus is often picturing that upside down kingdom, isn't it? It's the least, it's the broken in the world that are most important to him. And it's the lambs that are going to do his work. So if you're not sure about yourself bringing Jesus to others, perfect. You're highly qualified to let Jesus work in power in your life to bring others to faith through you. I think we shouldn't be worried that we're not equipped, that we don't know everything, that we're not pastors, we're not theologically trained to do this. If you feel like a lamb, perfect. You feel Jesus' requirement. You know, the Great Commission, when Jesus said, go and make disciples, we always forget the little bit before that. The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. These are the 11 disciples. They've seen the resurrected Jesus. They've come to him, and some are still doubting. I like to think maybe they're doubting in themselves. Oh, what's Jesus got me into for now? And these are the guys that Jesus gives a great commandment to. Go then, you doubters, and make disciples. Jesus didn't say to them, you good and faithful disciples, you're great. You're past this master class in discipleship. Now you're highly qualified to go and make disciples of all nations. So go do it. I love you guys. No, he said, all authority and power is in me. We just need to trust that Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior. When we know Jesus Christ in that way, it's not about us, is it? It's not about our strengths. We can be the lambs. We can be the doubters even. And Jesus commissions each and every one of us. You need to trust that word over your life that Jesus wants to use you. And find strength in that. My blabbering words as I went out and tried to evangelize through our Silence Breakers course, it was embarrassing at times. Yep, I felt like a real dork, to be honest. And yet in it, there was beautiful fruit. As I talked to these Muslim young men about Jesus and they tried to explain to me about Muhammad, and I felt like Jesus was in that space and it gave me great joy in being able to share the faith with others. So even a pastor struggles in this. So take some comfort. Be lambs. My fourth point, so you've got through the three, so you can go to sleep. Where was I going with this one? Oh, the peace. Did you hear how Jesus sent them out? He said, don't take anything, but go into households, and if you find peace there. I think this household picture, it's lovely. I'd love to go and sleep in random people's places and they feed me. What a joy. But maybe let's broaden that idea. You know, in your friendships and the people that you meet in your life, as you bring Jesus up, you're going to have those two kind of reactions. The pastor, just say that you're a pastor. You're going to have those two reactions. People will either shut down, they don't want the peace of the Lord in their lives, or they're going to open up and say, oh yeah, that's interesting. Tell me more about that. Or I'm a believer. And then in that relationship, we have the peace of God going on, don't we? You know, when I walked into this community 7 months ago, I didn't know one of you. And yet the peace of the Lord was in every one of our relationships. I loved you from the moment I got here. And I pray you find that as you go out and experience the peace of the Lord with other people. Right? So Jesus is giving us a way to deal with how we face rejection. Celebrate the people that are of peace, the people of peace that want to know about Jesus and come to faith. And I know there's lots of you here that didn't know Jesus growing up but came to faith later on, people of peace. And the people that aren't of peace, Jesus says, dust off your shoes, you know. He's not saying condemn them, get worried about it, don't beat yourself up. He's just saying get on with it. Dust your shoes off and just keep going. Don't get stuck in the mud. Don't worry about it. It's not about you. It's about where they're at in their journey with the Lord. So don't get caught up in how people respond, but celebrate when they do, those people of peace. What a beautiful thing. And I think I'm on to my fifth point, if I can see where it is. Oh, right, we're into the hard work. My mum once gave me a t-shirt that says, "Hard work never killed anyone." And on the back said, "But I'm not going to risk it." Jesus says there's a harvest. And as I've already said, harvest isn't easy work. I think we like to picture, you know, that it's just going to be easy for us. That we're going to go out, the harvest's there, we're going to reap, all good, kid in a candy store, a mouse in a cheese factory, that kind of picture. And yes, in a way, but if you've ever been involved in a harvest, it's not easy work. Between being a newspaper photographer and becoming a minister, I did a season with a contract harvester. We worked up at the top of Queensland and we worked down with the wheat harvest coming right down the east coast. I worked for them for 8 months. We got up at 5 a.m. and we might be in bed at midnight. It was tremendous big days. It was hard work. I drank so much Coke, I'm surprised I've got any teeth left. But it was amazing. There was a sense of satisfaction bringing in the harvest. Now, Jesus didn't have big harvesters to reap off huge paddocks in one blow and then move on. Man, they got out there with sickles. They had to bend over and chop the wheat and bundle it up and then stack it up and then cart it off to the threshing room. Not easy work. Jesus isn't pitching this is easy work. So get that out of your mind. It's not going to be easy. Jesus is realistic about that. But what farmer has a beautiful crop before them and just leaves it there? No farmer, unless they're crazy. No farmer leaves the harvest. They know it's going to take work. They call in the family, they call in the relatives to get involved, and they get on with the work, and they celebrate when the harvest comes in. That's one of the most beautiful things about the harvest, and we see it in the Old Testament that the Israelites had to go up and celebrate the end of the harvest, the start of the harvest and the end of the harvest. They go up to the temple and celebrate that and thank God for it. I think as we get on with this hard work of bringing Jesus Christ to the world, and when we bring in the harvest, when we see people come into this church that don't know Jesus Christ and call him Jesus their Lord and Savior, I think we need to celebrate that. Celebrate that Jesus is alive and active in the world. But it's not easy. It's not easy work. I lied to you. I said I had 5 points. I think I've got 6. But this is the last one. It's coming to an end. Jesus doesn't send us out in our own strength and power. I'm just recapping, really. It's not a 6 point. Jesus Christ is going with us, though. We don't do this in our own strength and power. We're not going out on our own strength. Even though we're lambs, even though the work's hard, Jesus Christ is with us on the way. That great commission, write it down, underline that last bit, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Nothing can separate you from the love of God that we have in Jesus Christ. He is with you each and every step. He has a heart for the lost. He's given us this work to do, and he's promised to be with us in that. Wow, isn't that amazing? So, that's the end of this sermon series. I pray that you can continue to firm up your identity in Christ so that you can find energy to go out and do this hard work that Jesus has put before us. So remember this week, God has given us, the church, work to do. The presence of Jesus through the Holy Spirit calls us and commissions us together to go and minister to the lost, to reap the harvest, despite our hardship and even that personal danger of being devoured. Yet his promise is clear. All the resources that we need are found in him alone, and he will go with us wherever we go. We will prevail, for he is always with us. You are never alone. So what are you waiting for? Ready, set, go. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guide our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.